I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Straight Talk Catholicism, the Terry and Jesse Show. Remember, the month of January is dedicated to the holy name of Jesus. Find any excuse throughout the day to just project the name of Jesus into the air, back to God the Father, just like honey on your lips. Say the name of Jesus, and you'll find this peace that floods you, that surpasses all human understanding. I'm on duty. Terry, what about you?
Yes, I'm on duty too. I'm standing up because I'm so excited because we have the opportunity to help people fall in love with Jesus and his church. Today's show is going to be interesting, really, because we're going to be talking about what's going on in Holy Mother, the church, and how there's tension going on. For example, San Francisco Archbishop responds to Pelosi, "No Catholic in good conscience can favor abortion." In other words, they're not staying quiet. I thank him for that. Then we got Cardinal Dolan saying, "Catholics more hung up on abortion as Biden administration looms." Well, I hope we're hung up. I mean, you know, it's life with thousands of babies every day dying. And then we're going to talk about Cardinal Kupich in Chicago, who is very critical of the things of the church. I mean, oh, I can describe him. He says that the UCCB statement last week from Archbishop Gomez, he persuaded, wait till you hear this, he called Rome and said, "Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do what? Condemn Biden for his pro-homosexuality, pro-abortion, and pro-against the family issues." And he won, actually, on that.
Yeah, Rome made the phone call, and they told Bishop Gomez to shut his mouth. But I guess it was leaked out in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well, it did come out. And, Jess, we're also going to just mention something. Over the last year, it's been a year we've been dealing with COVID-19. Jesse, you don't have a PhD the last time I looked on your background.
Nope.
On COVID-19.
Nor do I want one.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
Most guys that have PhDs, not all. Oh. Most guys that have a PhD have ruined this world. Yeah. Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Plutarco Caius. I can go on. I can bore you.
Well, the point I'm making is they're now 1 hour after President Biden became the president of the United States. The World Health Organization that hated President Trump decided to change the COVID testing criteria, which is really going to make it lead to a reduction in COVID taste tallies. What's that going to do? Show how President Biden is doing a great job. This is so manipulative that for the whole year we've been talking about, hey, come on, those are red flags. What's going on here? And I think the truth is coming out more and more. That this virus, yes, it's a virus, and yes, it can kill people. But Jess, the point I want to make is this.
Not that many.
Yes, but here's the point. They're not allowing people to take the proper medications. You Google it, and they won't show it. And so now there are doctors called frontline doctors who are saying right straight up that here's this reports that we've done in a year on this, and you're not getting the truth. So I just want people to check it out by at least going to LifeSite News. And then check out the frontline doctors. They got a lot of good things to say.
They've been censored by big tech.
Yes.
They're truth tellers.
And that's the point. Wait, what is going on?
They want to inject us all with the
experimental
vaccines. Experimental vaccines funded by Bill Gates.
Yeah, yep. Make sure you use the word experimental because they have not gone through the process that they normally go through. So, okay,
So far as of last week, 55 people have died as a result of the vaccinations around the country shortly thereafter.
Remember, our buddy Hank Aaron died 14 days after he took that virus, that vaccine, and that's just interesting and sad because the point of it is the truth is going to come out. You watch it, folks. But before we do that, talking about truth, Jess, let's get some soul food in us. That's true.
By the way, today's the feast of St. Paul, the Apostle. Saul of Tarsus became the great St. Paul. Pray for us.
Amen.
Today's gospel, Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 to 18.
Yep.
Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." Stop there. That shows you how to get to heaven. You want to know in a nutshell?
There you go.
You have to believe in Jesus, okay? Not Buddha, Confucius, Zoroaster, or Muhammad. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. and you have to be baptized in the way Jesus taught you, which is a Trinitarian formula. So if you're a baby, you would invert that. You'd have to be baptized first vicariously by the faith of your parents, and then you are instructed in the faith later on. If you're an adult pagan coming into the church, you have to make a profession of faith first. You got to believe in Jesus first and his holy gospel, and then you're baptized. It goes on to say, whoever does not believe will be condemned. No universal salvation here, okay? It's pretty cut and dry. There's one door that leads to heaven. The door is called Jesus. He says, I am the door, John chapter 10. You have to go through that door. If you don't go through that door and you don't believe in him, you won't be saved. And I can tell you, a lot of people that say that believe in Jesus, it's just lip service. Because to believe in Jesus, you have to obey him.
That's right.
And I say that because Joe Biden, the president, has been signing these ungodly pieces of legislation right after he took the oath of office. With a rosary in his pocket, Terry, he's signing pro-death legislation with a rosary jingling in his pocket.
Dad.
After having put his hand on a Douay Rheims Bible. It reminds me of Uzzah in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 6, who puts his... He touches the Ark of the Covenant and God strikes him dead. The president, by putting his hand on the Word of God, which is basically the written Ark of the Covenant, and then signing anti-godly legislation, this is very dangerous for his soul. It ends by saying, the Bible says, today's gospel, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. That's the ministry of exorcism. They will speak new languages. By the way, the apostles, they spoke in their language, and other people from other languages that didn't speak Hebrew understood what they were saying
yep.
in their own language as the apostles were speaking Hebrew. It says they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. That literally happened to St. Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts. He picked up a snake, it bit him, nothing happened to him, and people say like, wow, this guy does come from God. This guy's protected by God. And then it says this, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick. That's a reference to the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And they will recover. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, let's just good commentary. This fits right in with Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Let's bring him in, the smartest guy in the room. Full Sheen ahead. Jess, I think you quoted this in your book. This is a quote that says, the fact the enemies of God must face in that modern civilization has conquered the world. Talk about right now, 2021. They think they've conquered the world, but in doing so, they lost its soul. Wow. And in losing its soul, it will lose the very world it gained. Even our own so-called liberal culture in the United States. Thank you, Bishop Sheen. He called it right. Liberal culture in the United States, which has tried to avoid complete secularization by leaving little zones of individual freedom, is in danger of forgetting that these zones were preserved only because religion was in their soul. Now, this is the cash value, Jess. He says, and as religion fades, you know, it's 8% Catholics going to church. As religion fades, so will freedom. For only where the Spirit of God is their liberty. I want to repeat that, Jess. And as religion fades, so will freedom. For only where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty.
That
powerful
says it
stuff,
all.
Man.
Powerful, powerful.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're listening to the Terry and Jess. Hit the subscribe.
That's right.
12 or 13 epistles in the New Testament. People say, historians say that he would have had like the equivalent of an Ivy League PhD.
Yeah, it's true.
He was again, God knew that he needed somebody to be literally a spokesman to the Gentiles, and to be able to provide rational answers, because he was steeped in Greek thought, so he was an orator. You know, he had a lot of understanding of natural law. And when he came to Christ, boy, oh boy, it just changed everything. And he virtually blazed the trail for missionary trips around the entire known world back then, which is Europe and the Middle East. And St. Paul the Apostle today stands as the icon, Terry,
absolutely,
of what it means to somebody, what it means to be an evangelist and somebody who shares the gospel of Jesus Christ.
St. Paul, pray for us. Jesse, I got a letter. It says for about the Spiritual Warfare Conference. It says, "Dear Terry, I was on your YouTube for Spiritual Warfare Conference the other day. It was over the top. Fantastic. Thank you for everyone who made that happen. I was working in my yard while Dr. Dan was talking about," I love this term, "smash mouth Catholicism." Right after that, "I saw an 8 or 9 foot branch that had blown down into the yard. I seized it up, determined that I would pick it up and launch it into the woods. As I made the thrust forward, a small sticker branch on the small branch caught the pocket of my coat, and the main branch jolted straight up and hit me square in the mouth. My first reaction was to swear and curse, but in an instant of pain, I stopped and said, 'Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I have been given this suffering, that I can offer it for you for my own sins.' The pain disappeared shortly after that, and I found no wound, which I was sure to see when I got inside. All I could do was laugh and thank the good Lord, our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, all of whom I have been praying to through the conference. May God bless all of you." And that conference is still available, Jess. It can go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and pick it up. I love that conference, Jess. Keep it up. Jess, yeah. But Jess, yeah. You nailed it. You predicted that was going to be the greatest spiritual warfare conference of all the years.
I think you
were right. Yeah. Hey, when we come back, let's talk about the good Archbishop of San Francisco, Archbishop Bordeleon. He's contacting Pelosi and telling her where it is. I love it. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The holy name of Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. The month of January is dedicated to proclaiming the holy name of Jesus. Let it flow out of your mouth like honey on your lips. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Terry, there's a brave archbishop that I'm sure he says the name of Jesus often, because you can only tell because he does have apostolic courage. This guy's surrounded by a bunch of wolves in the Diocese of San Francisco. His name's Archbishop Cordiglione. And the Archbishop of San Francisco on Thursday responded to the Speaker of the House, who lives in his under his diocese, accusing Speaker Nancy Pelosi was accusing anybody who voted for Donald Trump and is pro-life. She called the pro-life Trump voters sellouts.
The whole democracy down the river for that one issue, she said. Yep.
Because of that one issue, we've sold out all of democracy. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, said this in a podcast with Hillary Clinton. And they were talking about that support of pro-life voters for former President Trump was an issue that gives me grief as a Catholic, she says. She says, "I think that Donald Trump is a president because of the issue of a woman's right to choose." And she added that, again, Catholic voters were willing to sell the whole democracy down the river for that one issue. Terry, so for her, it's not a preeminent issue.
No.
Not even that important, obviously.
No. She said that her Catholic faith shouldn't have an impact on a woman's right to choose. Really? Wow. I mean, take that to the grave. I'm going to pray for her because,
If she takes that to the grave, she's going to hell, because the Catechism says in paragraph 1776 and following that the moral conscience of the baptized Catholic must be formed by the Word of God and the Church's moral teachings. So she's 180 degrees going in the opposite direction, Terry. As Father Bill Casey says about people like this, she's jumping over the trap door of hell.
And Jess, I want to just mention something about Archbishop Cordiglione. He was the bishop of, he was auxiliary bishop of San Diego. Then he went to Oakland. We brought him out the day you spoke with him at a family conference about 10 years ago.
Yep.
I pick him up at the airport, and I said to the bishop, I said, "You know, Father Fessio said we need to be praying for the next Archbishop of San Francisco. The name's going to be coming out soon, and at the conference we want to pray for that because, as Father Fessio said, we need a good man there to lead the flock because he's from San Francisco." And the Archbishop said, yeah, you need to be praying for that next person. Let's do that. Well, little did I know, Jesse, the day before I picked him up at the airport, the nuncio called to tell him he is the next Archbishop of San Francisco. But he's sealed to silence. He cannot tell anybody that. So he couldn't. I didn't know. He didn't tell me. But he just looked at me and he said, yeah, you need to pray for that man because he's going to need a lot of graces. Well, here's my point. We as a group at the National Catholic Family Conference, we prayed for him. And believe it or not, that man took a job, Jesse, in Sodom and Gomorrah in San Francisco.
Sure,
come on. He's surrounded by a lot of people who would hate his guts. He has to have a bodyguard ever since he got in there, Jess.
Yeah, I've been told by people out there in the diocese that there are guys that are armed security that are near the sanctuary because people have actually rushed him. The LGBT community has actually rushed him when he's in the homily preaching the gospel.
Yeah, and you know what, Jess? This is big news. He led, just over the weekend, the March for Life. You know, Eva Montaigne from Ignatius Press, this just came in. They had thousands of people marching. It's the only pro-life march.
That
didn't shut down. The people used social distancing. They kept their distance. The Archbishop had the mass. They did so many people into the church, every other pew. But Eva said, you see, you can't stop us, our pro-lifers here in California. So I just want to give kudos to them because, you know what, Jess, the life of an unborn baby is that important in my take. And I just want to thank the Archbishop for showing up and doing the mass. And basically, you know what he did, Jesse? He basically told the city of San Francisco that you're repressing our religious freedom and we're not going to take it anymore.
That's right.
Love it.
Yep. Archbishop Corleone told Pelosi the following
I love this.
In a statement. He says, no Catholic in good conscience can favor abortion.
That's right.
And then he also made another statement to Pelosi. He says, our land is soaked with the blood of the innocent.
That's right.
And it must be stopped. Now, Nancy Pelosi has long supported abortion, despite the fact that she calls herself a devout Catholic. That's a lie. Devout means a sincere Catholic, an earnest, fervent, ardent Catholic, serious Catholic, holy Catholic. She's none of those. So devout shouldn't be in the same sentence with Nancy Pelosi. But in 2008, Pelosi said on NBC's Meet the Press,
that's right,
regarding When Life Begins, she said this, quote, over the centuries, the doctors of the church, I don't know what doctor she's talking about, the doctors of the church have not been able to make that definition, close quote. And then she went on to say that her Catholic faith shouldn't have an impact on a woman's right to choose, close quote. So Nancy Pelosi does not know what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says. She hasn't read it. Because the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, quote, abortion is evil and wrong, and it quotes the oldest document in Christianity, the Didache, or the Didache, which is written back in 70 A.D. This is the oldest Christian document outside the Gospels. It's quoted in the Catechism. And so she's saying that the doctors of the church haven't weighed in on it. She hasn't read that section. She's a lukewarm modernist, A, or B, she's a heretic. Because if she's just a lukewarm modernist, that means she's never really understood and been taught her faith. That's number one.
Yeah.
So there could be invincible ignorance or invincible ignorance. Or she does know her faith and she just rejects it. That's different. That's called a heretic because you're baptized and now you reject what the church teaches post-baptismum.
It's A or B, but she also talked about the nuns who taught her in college who happened to be very liberal are the ones who influenced her in her Catholicism. You see, Jess, that's why orthodoxy, right teaching, is so important because back in the 60s, there were a lot of dissenters in the 70s. We grew up with those knuckleheads. They were teaching things that weren't what the perennial teachings of the church are. Kind of like right now, Jesse. We're coming back to that time in the last 8 years, in my humble opinion, where these modernists are popping up and saying, you don't need to believe in the resurrection, like the leader of the Jesuit order. So maybe she got poor formation. I get that. But the point of it is, all of us down through the centuries, Jesse, every word that you speak and I speak, I'm going to be held accountable for, Jess. And so I just pray for her for her conversion, to realize that that's what she was taught was wrong, and she needs to stand up for life. And I appreciate a shepherd of the church calling it for what she is. He said, "You do not speak for the Catholic Church." And I appreciate him saying that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was my next quote.
Oh, okay.
And he said, Nancy Pelosi does not speak for the Catholic Church. Yeah. Then he was, Corleone, Archbishop, goes on to say, and on the question of the equal dignity of human life in the womb, Pelosi also speaks in direct contradiction to a fundamental human right that Catholic teaching has consistently championed for 2,000 years. The Archbishop added that Pelosi's use of the phrase right to choose in reference to abortion is a smokescreen for perpetuating an entire industry that profits from one of the most heinous evils imaginable. And even back in 2010, the previous Archbishop of San Francisco, George Niederauer.
Yeah, that was the former bishop.
Yeah, called Pelosi's support for abortion, quote, entirely incompatible with Catholic teaching. Terry?
Yeah, Jesse, I want to mention also that why are we exposing this? Because President Biden, he's made it very clear that he is supporting abortion on demand. He's supporting the Pelosi's. He's supporting all these. And what the scandal, my scandal is that I see, is that these people are baptized Catholics. Yes, I can understand if you've never been taught a thing about revealed truth. Okay, I get that. But these are people who are baptized. That's why the most merciless thing we could do is let them go and say, well, that's just their opinion. No, Pelosi, Biden, all these people, we want you to see. We want to see you in heaven. We want to see you repent like we do. Repent and believe in the gospel. And the gospel of life says just what we're saying, that this is life. And remember, St. John Paul II said it. He called a government that legalizes abortion a tyrant state. Yes, we're living in a tyrant state.
Yeah. Welcome to the United States of America under the left.
Yep.
And Terry, the Corleone's also supported Archbishop Gomez in the statement that he made.
Yes.
It says here the U.S. bishops issued a statement of prayer and congratulations to new President Joe Biden, and who noted areas of agreement and disagreement between Biden and the bishops. Okay, so here's my take now.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm going to say this. Paragraph 907 gives me the power to say this.
Sure.
I don't agree with the bishop. Yes, I agree. We pray for his conversion.
That's right.
We don't pray for his policies.
Nope. Okay?
Because his policies are anti-Catholic. So we don't pray for his presidency to flourish and stuff, because he's going to promote the culture of death. We pray for his conversion. Yes. Do we congratulate him? No, I'm not going to congratulate him. I'll tell you why, Terry.
There's a good reason.
Everything about his 47-year track record as a politician goes against my Catholic faith.
Yep.
So my question is, why would any successor of the apostle congratulate a 47-year pro-culture of death world leader? Yeah. No, Terry, we don't congratulate Attila the Huns, Terry, or Genghis Khans. We need another Pope Leo the Great, who back in 450 AD confronted Attila the Hun, not congratulated him.
Absolutely, Jesse. And remember what Pope Pius XII did in 1949. Do you want a church that is silent when it needs to speak out for the truth? No. And that's why I appreciate some of our successors of the apostles speaking up and calling it for what it is, and that is abortion is murder. There's no other way to say it. Now, Jess, you notice I didn't say it's just killing someone. It's murder.
No, because killing could be justified.
Exactly. We're talking about an innocent life.
Murder's never justified.
Exactly. Thank you, Jess.
Yep. You know, Bishop Gomez, in a statement upon Biden's inauguration, reiterated that ending abortion is the preeminent priority
of the
bishop's conference due to its threat to families and the sheer number of abortion victims.
Yep.
While I do appreciate the bishops making that statement, all I'm saying is, why didn't they do this 6 months before the election, like every day? It's just a little too late.
Jesse, No, what you just said, brother, you're absolutely right. We were preaching this when the election started. We got to make sure we don't elect someone who's going to be killing babies. And then all of a sudden, after the election, all these Catholic radio stations, politicians, and also church leaders are saying, this is bad. Wait a minute. You didn't want to say it was bad before. Why? Because we could lose our nonprofit a status, or maybe we would, you know, there'd be a price to pay for it. Well, there's a price to speak the truth in charity, and we're willing to pay that right now here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. When we come back, we'll look at another prelate and see what he has to say about aborting a baby, aborting America, really, is what it's all about. And we need to stop it now. We'll be right back with more to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Today's responsorial psalm, Psalm 117. For steadfast is his kindness towards us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. Psalm 117. I want you to hear a small clip from a priest. I don't know what diocese he's from. If you do, you can let me, you know, email me or text me. But I want you to hear a short little homily he gave. Here's the priest crying out from the depths of his heart about what happened during the elections. Mr. Engineer, play the clip.
I'm drawing a lot on the life of King David, and somewhat ironically, in the circumstances where he's the bad guy, when he puts Uriah the Hittite, he needs to get rid of Uriah so we can have Bathsheba. He puts Uriah in the front line, and he says, and then put him in the front line, and then withdraw the support. Leave him out there so they can slaughter him. And that's the way I feel. That the emotion of betrayal and abandonment that Uriah must have felt by putting out there and then having all the other the soldiers retreat, and that is, I think, gets at the heart of the uncomfortable feelings that I have felt as having to stand in this pulpit to preach about various difficult things, including the life issue that we preach about today. Yes, I agree that yesterday's statement that I read from Archbishop Gomez was a good statement. But my goodness, why weren't we reading this from the pulpit 3 months ago, before the election? Why? So kindness and truth are not meeting today. I'm sorry. That's for somebody else, and I bet there's a lot of people who can do it for you. There was another thing about King. Oh yes, I hope you might have heard that the president is Catholic. Perhaps you've heard that. Perhaps you went. You heard that he went to Mass on Wednesday. I don't care. That does not impress me. I hope he's at church today. I hope he's at Mass today. And I want whatever priest is there to have prayed to Nathan the prophet, who told David a story. There was a man, a poor man. He had a little sheep. He had a little sheep. And there was a rich man, and he said, I want that sheep. I've got all the other sheep in the world, but I want that sheep. Give me that sheep. And he took that sheep from him. And David said, and Nathan says, what do you think about that? Oh, David, that man should be killed. He's the worst. That's just, you are the man. You are the man. President Biden, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Judas Iscariot was an apostle. He betrayed Christ. You are the man. Wow, this is more energetic than I expected. I'm so angry. There should be more people here at Mass. I'll probably get a letter. I just don't care anymore. I just don't care anymore. I just don't care anymore.
Wow, that's North Carolina's Charlotte Diocese, Jess. I know of him. And, man, I'm telling you, he was fired up. I love it. We need more priests like him, Jess.
You know, we need to contact them, because I'm just worried. But a priest like him, Terry, you could tell that in his soul, he's in a fetal position. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he is.
And so I hope if anybody knows him, send him some kind emails.
Yeah.
Send him some thoughtful cards. Give him a phone call of people that know him. Because, again, you can hear in his voice.
You can.
I'm telling you, Terry.
You're reading it.
The man right now is in a fetal position. The man right now is standing on the edge of a bridge. And we need to pray for him because this has really affected him really bad. You could tell he's a good priest, but again, this has really affected him.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who knows him, email him, call him up.
Yes.
Take him out to lunch. Pray for him.
Exactly.
Let's pray for him right now, Terry.
Yes. In
the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Mother Mary, we entrust this priest to your care. You're the mother of all the priests, and you know who he is. I don't. But boy, oh boy, hold him right now because I'm worried about his soul. That he'll fall into despair. So we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for him now and at the hour of his death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesse, the reason we pray for them, because we just had another priest friend of ours. You and I know him. He was at the January 6th March in Washington, D.C. as a public person, and he was there. LifeSite News carries the story, and he was basically taken out of his faculties, were taken away from him because they said you were at a political rally. And I thought, this is good. He used to write for the LifeSite News before he became a priest, so he knows his stuff. Here's the point I'm making. A lot of these guys, like that priest you just heard, they're hurting. Many of them are just staying quiet. And you know what, Jess? That even hurts even more when you can't articulate what's going inside of you. I mean, this is bad. And this is why we need to continue every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. We pray for priests from 7 to 9. We're going to lift him up and others. So I just want to ask our listeners to don't turn and say, oh, this is horrible. Yeah, God's counting on you to help support these wonderful priests who are willing to speak up and pay a price for speaking for the truth. And that priest definitely needs our prayers. So continue, everyone, praying on whole, especially Thursdays at your parish or at home. Say special prayers for priests and bishops and the Holy Father every Thursday like we do here at our Sacred Heart Chapel.
That's right, because one of the tactics of Satan is he uses
leadership, right?
He goes after the leaders. What he went after Judas Iscariot,
that makes sense.
One of the 12.
Yeah.
And what did he fill his heart with? Despair, discouragement, and doubt.
Yep.
Doubt the mercy of God. So again, when I hear a priest like this, although I'm 110% behind what he said, I could see him falling into despair, discouragement, and doubt. So we have to lift him up in prayer, and those that know him, reach out to him.
Yeah, he was
Terry,
screaming.
Before we do that, Jess, can
I just give some good news stories to lift people
ahead.
Up? Portland, Oregon, there's an abortion clinic that's been around 50 years. Are you ready, everybody? They closed their doors January 16, 2021. Give it up to Jesus, man. I was so happy to hear that. So that's because the people have been praying at that clinic, and I want to congratulate them. Remember Joe Scheidler, who just passed away a week or two ago, wrote that book, 99 Ways to Close an Abortion Clinic. They closed it by praying at that clinic. Also, more good news, Jess. I always say this about orthodoxy, about people who are living the authentic teachings of the church. They grow. There's a religious sisters in Italy. They're traditionalist sisters. And they have devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Guess what? Out of one American family, four of your daughters joined the convent. Jess, can you imagine a dad, mom, if four of your daughters is like the little flower? They come and they join. And they're growing so fast, they're having to build a new convent because this traditional order of nuns are growing so fast. Look at all the liberal nuns from the 60s and 70s that we grew up with, Jess, in the 80s. They're gone. They're vacant. Why? Because liberalism doesn't reproduce. So I just want to give a good news shout out to the sisters consoling the Sacred Heart of Jesus. God love them.
Good. That was good news, Terry.
Yep.
The engineers send me, we have a couple of people that have posted questions that are listening to the show.
Sure.
One is Jesse and Terry. I've been struggling with my faith.
Yeah,
I pray the rosary.
Good,
but not focused. I love listening to you all and your guests. I need help. I believe. Help my unbelief.
Amen.
This is this has been my plea to Jesus recently. I am afraid, severe fear from the Chinese virus for my family. Thank you, guys. Well, that's a good prayer. What you just said right now.
Absolutely.
Her name's Nellie. I won't mention her last name. Yeah. What you said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's a good prayer for us to say every day in the morning, especially before you receive Holy Communion or do spiritual communion. That already shows, Nellie, that you have faith. You're on the right track.
Amen.
You couldn't say those words, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, unless you were a true believer. So though you're feeling, again, like what this priest is feeling, a little bit of depression or maybe despair, you are a believer.
Yep.
The fact that you're saying that every day demonstrates that's what the apostles prayed to Jesus. So you're in good company with the apostles. Terry, she also said, I've been struggling with praying and I'm not focused.
Right, with the rosary, I heard her.
Yeah, with the rosary. Here's what I'll say. Again, as Catholics, something I've learned recently from being around, being taught by the instructors at Liber Christi, Father Ripperger, Kyle Clement, and Dr. Dan Schneider, it's dangerous for somebody to pray only when you feel consolation. In fact, the great spiritual writers say that praying just to seek consolation is an unhealthy attachment. So if you're praying just because, oh, it feels good after, that's not the reason to pray. I've been taught now the last 2 years, and I see it's biblical. It's part of the fathers of the church. We're called to pray what's called smash mouth Catholicism. What does that mean? You grind it out.
Yep.
You pray because it's the right thing to do. Because as the Catechism says, it is right and just to worship, adore, and pray to God. It is what? Scott Hahn's book. It is right and just. We don't do it because it feels good. I mean, sometimes it may feel good, but we do it because it's right and just. And God, in strict justice, is due adoration and worship and our prayers. And so don't pray to seek spiritual consolation. That's unhealthy because, again, you're not going to grow in your interior life. We pray in good times and in bad times. As St. Paul says, in season and out of season. And that's what I call practicing smash-mouth Catholicism. I do my morning prayers not because it feels good. I do it because it's the right thing to do. I'm a soldier of Christ, and I'm part of the church militant. Terry?
Absolutely. My only comment, my friend, is to open up your Bible every single day and your catechism and study your faith. And also, get a copy of the Spiritual Warfare Conference from last 2 weekends ago by going to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Listen to those talks, and I think they're going to help you have a deeper love for Jesus Christ. And don't forget to ask Jesus for more faith every single day. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Another question from a faithful listener before we wrap up the show with the topics. And the faithful listener is asking Terry and myself, no need to give his name. He says, Terry, Jesse, can you guys talk about receiving communion on our knees and mouth versus standing and on the hand? Is it sacrilege? My answer is no. Of course, receiving communion on your knees and in the mouth is not sacrilege. It's been done like that for over 1,000 years. And so how can it be sacrilege? Now, I know what you're saying. You're not being allowed to receive like that in your parish for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm going to have to say something that Archbishop Vigano has talked about. He says that within the Catholic Church right now, you have basically two competing camps within the one true church. You got modernists and you got the Orthodox. So when you have a modernist bishop and modernist priest, they're going to, again, they're going to listen more to the government, you know, to the World Health Organization, to the CDC, and say, you can't receive communion in the mouth. It's dangerous. If you have a diocese or a priest that are Orthodox, they're going to say, you know what? The government doesn't tell us to do. We're going to take safety precautions. But the government does not tell us how to conduct our liturgy. And so, again, I empathize for you, but I can't relate to your problem because here in Phoenix, there's not one parish where you can't receive in the traditional manner. Terry?
Yeah, very good. I just got a quick note that we're going to pray for Dave's mom who passed away January 4th, one of our listeners. So let's pray for that. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let the perpetual light shine upon her. May she rest in peace, and may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Father, Son. Athanasius Snyder, Bishop Athanasius Snyder wrote a book, Jess, as you know, on the problem of Holy Communion in the hand. And we've seen what that's done since the late 60s in the sense of the fruitfulness, unfruitfulness, I should say, of disbelief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Now, I'm not in management. I'm in sales. Okay? It's legitimate for people to receive in the hand, but the church makes it very clear you can't force somebody to receive communion on the hand. Not even the Pope can tell me that I can't receive Holy Communion on the tongue. That's how strong the language is in the church. And so I would just say this, that many people have said what Jesse just said, that because of COVID-19, nobody can receive Holy Communion on the tongue. Well, here at our chapel, the Anglican Ordinariate, that's their tradition, receiving kneeling and on the tongue. So if people are in Southern California, look up Anglican Ordinariate parishes, wherever you are in America, and I'm going to just say vote with the way you get fed. In other words, if it builds your faith up by receiving kneeling and on the tongue, which it does for me, it shows me something that is like no other food on earth, then go to a parish that will feed you. That's my take, Jess.
Terry, we're seeing the Akita Fatima.
Oh, yeah.
The Akita apparitions and Our Lady of Good Success.
Yeah, give the background, though, on those apparitions.
Play out.
For those people who don't know about Akita in the early 70s.
Akita, 1973, yep. Our Lady of Good Success, 80-something,
right.
In Ecuador, Quito, Ecuador. Yep. Both are eschatological prophecies.
Good.
That means end-time prophecies that were given by Our Lady, mm-hmm. that have been approved by the church, the old local ordinary. And they talk about the fact that before the second coming of Christ, there's going to be this a war between bishops, priests and priests, cardinal. Bishop on bishop, cardinal against the Pope, mm-hmm. that against the clergy, there's going to be this diabolical disorientation where you're going to have Orthodox and modernists. They're going to be battling it out. And we see it here, Terry. Oh, yeah. Cardinal Dolan, again, he made a good statement. Got to give him credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
He was asked by a politician, why are you Catholics so hung up on abortion? And Archbishop Cardinal Dolan, he said, actually, we're obsessed with the dignity of the human person and the sacredness of all human life. Yes, the innocent, helpless, life of the baby in the womb,
that's right.
But also the life of the death row prisoner, the immigrant, the fragile elderly, the poor and the sick. So he made a good statement. He says, hey, you know, he didn't back off, in other words. And he says, yeah, as Catholics, we're concerned with the life of everybody. And he says, this is not a uniquely Catholic issue. In fact, he goes, he gave a good response. He goes, this is basically biology 101. This
we learned that there.
Yeah, this is not taught in religion 101. This is biology 101. And this is also part of the American tradition, he said, our inalienable rights tradition in American history. And so he made some good statements. He says, how can we sustain a culture that recoils at violence, exclusion, suicide, racism, injustice, and callousness towards those in need if we applaud, allow, pay for, and promote the destruction of the most helpless, the baby in the womb. And so Cardinal Dolan also wrote that pro-abortionists reassured us 48 years ago that abortion would be kept safe, legal, and rare. He goes, so much for the reassurances. We have hardly gotten used to it. Abortion remains the hottest issue in our politics, with polls showing that most Americans want restrictions on its unquestioned use and do not want their taxes to pay for it. And again, he says, we're even more hung up now as our new president, who speaks with admirable sensitivity about protecting the rights of the weakest and most threatened, ran on a platform avidly supporting this gruesome capital punishment for innocent pre-born babies. So Cardinal Dolan made a good statement, got to thank him for it. And again, then Cardinal Cooper didn't wait long to take him and the entire USCCB on by that statement, Terry.
And you know, Jess, what I like what he said is he used the term human rights. You know, this is that term that everybody uses. Oh, yeah, human rights, human rights. Well, you know, what right does a baby have? In other words, if it's not going to get the right to be born, all the other rights are muted. And so I think that it was clever the way he said that. I wouldn't have thought of it that way, but I give him kudos to that. But, Jess, you're right. Cardinal Kupich of Chicago is the guy that, in my humble opinion, is the most liberal. Well, there's a couple of them, but he's the most dissenting cardinal in the Catholic Church today. And I say that based on what he says on YouTube, if you Google him, what he said regarding these different sessions in Rome regarding homosexuality. But here's what he did. He took on the president of the Bishops' Conference. Now, that doesn't happen, Jess. In my lifetime, this has never happened where a cardinal steps up to the plate and says, the president of the Bishops' Conference, hey, you can't make that statement. I'm going to go tell Rome on you. Gets on the phone, starts lobbying all kinds of people. Yeah, I use the word lobby, Jess. You know why? They're treating their religion as like it's a political football, and it's not. It's about truth, justice, right? Not about political parties. And so what he ended up doing is he was able to persuade the Secretary of the State in Rome hours before Archbishop Gomez was to release this statement condemning the new president of the United States. Now, Jess, I'm not going to look too deep into that, but you know what? I'm tired of the Holy See not condemning a politician who's been killing unborn babies. I think it's time that they take that responsibility on and call it for what it is. That's my take, Jess.
Yeah, Terry, and I think there were some great statements made by Archbishop Gomez in that statement. He said, Gomez said, abortion is a direct attack on life that also wounds the woman and undermines the family.
Absolutely.
It's not only a private matter. It raises troubling and fundamental questions of fraternity, solidarity, and inclusion in the human community. It is also a matter of social justice. Like, Terry, like you're always saying, social justice begins in the womb.
Yeah, baby.
Gomez says, we cannot ignore the reality that abortion rates are much higher among the poor and minorities. Again, what I've always said, it's a racist organization, Planned Parenthood. And he says, and that the procedure is regularly used to eliminate children who would be born with disabilities. Here's another great statement by Gomez. And again, I read it because, you know,
hey,
when he says something good, I'm going to state.
We're objective, Jess.
Yeah. When he says something that I don't agree with, paragraph 907, I'm going to invoke that.
Exactly.
It's my right. My hope, too, Gomez says, is that we can work together to finally put in place a coherent family policy in this country, one that acknowledges the crucial importance of strong marriages and parenting to the well-being of children and the stability of communities. Gomez said, if the president, with full respect for the church's religious freedom, were to engage in this conversation, it would go a long way towards restoring the civil balance and healing our country needs. And it's interesting that Gomez said that, Terry Altai, because he says what we need to talk about in our country are having strong marriages and parenting. Well, guess who also talked about that, Terry?
Yeah.
I have to give him credit. Barack Obama, in a speech he gave.
I'll never forget that.
He said that what America needs is fathers, is strong fathers and families. Barack Obama,
he saw
basically,
that.
He saw what it's done to the black community.
Oh, yeah.
And he was, Larry Elder's also written, is a good a black conservative lawyer. He wrote a whole book on that, on the need for the restoration of fathers into the home.
Yep.
And again, that's just the whole thing, Terry. What I'm always talking about is proper patriarchy is what's going to bring order to our society in our homes.
And Jesse, you as a cop saw it firsthand, seeing so many kids in jail, so many young men and women in jail without fathers. I think you told me statistically somewhere between 85%, somewhere up there.
Yeah, it's up in the high 70s, low 80s.
Okay, that's where
it is. The people that are incarcerated come from single parent homes. So it's almost a blueprint, Terry, for destruction.
Disaster.
Yeah, you're right.
It is a disaster because with St. John Paul II wrote his letter in 94, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. And that's why I would appreciate our shepherds speaking like this all the time, coming out and the shepherds like Archbishop Cordeleon and Archbishop Gomez. I don't appreciate Cardinal Kupich speaking on this because what he's doing is he's undermining the perennial teachings of the church.
Yes.
I want to give everybody this advice. When you see these things going on in the church, ask yourself, how does that square with what Holy Mother the Church has taught from day one? Ask yourself, go to your catechism, look it up, and say, wait a minute, how can he change that? Well, we've got prelates just thinking that it's like they're like the Ford dealership. They have a better idea. No, they don't. We're going to go with the perennial teachings, and that's what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful. And that's what ticks some people off, just to be quite frank. We're not, you know what? You're rigid, Romero and Barber. You know what? We're rigid because the truth is what sets us free. Compromise sends us to hell.
Terry, you could tell when somebody opens their mouth, you could tell what team they're on. If they're part of team, team Satan. And there's only two teams in the world, 1 John 3:10, team Satan and team Jesus.
Yep.
And when somebody opens their mouth and goes against the perennial teachings of the church, being a man of the cloth like Cardinal Kupich, he's basically telling you, he's dog whistling, he's telling you what team he's on.
Yep.
And our Lord warned us, Terry, about prelates like him.
Yeah.
In Matthew 7:15, our Lord said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Terry, take it away.
How do you build up your faith? You get the five stones of King David, right? You pray your rosary every day if you're off the team, if you don't. You read your Bible. You get the confession. You make visits. You make sacrifices for the salvation of souls. Remember, Our Lady said it real simple in Fatima. Souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. Jess, one other item I want to ask you other than what state we should be living in. But don't you agree that every single day to be on the team, you need to ask Jesus for more faith?
Absolutely. That's why in the month of January, the holy name of Jesus should be projected and sent forth from our mouth back to God the Father and say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus,
Amen.
Help me.
All
Jesus,
day long.
I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus, have mercy on me. Absolutely, Terry. The name of Jesus got to be honey on our lips.
And what state should we be living in, brother?
It's called grace.
Amen.
Grace.
The and, life of God.
And what state don't you want to live in? Mortal sin. Stay away from that state.
Thanks again for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Full sheen ahead. God love you.